We have two testimonies tonight for you, and the first one is from our brother Mike Thomas. Mike has been a member with us for several years now, and he gave a brief testimony when he was baptized 2 years ago, and so just going to ask our brother to come up now and share with us a more extended, although he said to me, first of all, it was about 45 minutes long, this testimony. I said, well, you're going to have to trim that down a bit. In the words of Dr. McClellan, he would say, give it a haircut. So you need to give that testimony a haircut. But he's doing a lot. I promise you, at least he promises it's briefer than that tonight. But Brother Mike, come on up and share with us what the Lord's done in your life.
Yes, cutting things down is not my specialty. So I'll start with turning in Scripture to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and just reading one verse, number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It is a pleasure to be able to speak a little word of what the Lord has done in my life and his saving grace that he has given to me. I was born in Toronto on the 2nd of April, 1991, into a mixed family. My father's side were Protestant. Many were saved. My mother's side were Roman Catholic. I was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church and enrolled into the Catholic school system in Toronto, where I was taught the teachings of Roman Catholicism. At the age of 4, my paternal grandmother, my Nana, receiving permission from my mother, took me with her to where she was attending at the Pape Avenue Gospel Hall, where she had been in fellowship since 1985, and enrolled me in the Sunday school. And at that point, I can say the Lord had his hand upon me, because it was at that Sunday school where I learned that I was a sinner and that I had a need of a Savior. When I was 5, my mother was called home and passed away from cancer, but the Lord saved her out of Roman Catholicism just before she passed. As a result, I was raised spiritually by my Nana, and as well by her mother, my great-grandmother, Julia McCullough. These two godly women were very influential in my life, and I thank God for their witness to me daily and their unceasing prayer as they prayed for my soul each and every day. My Nana would take me to the many meetings, children's meetings, gospel series, and the annual Easter conference. It was in the assemblies that I heard many great preachers and men of God. And I can remember hearing especially the words and preaching of Mr. Norman Lormer, who I would cherish as a spiritual mentor for most of my younger days while at Pape Avenue and Victoria Park, Gospel Halls. Also the Mr. Harold Paisley and Mr. Norman Crawford. The echo of their messages will always ring in my heart, and I can always remember that stirring cry that should the Lord come back this day and take those that are his home to glory, would you be caught up with the saints, or would you be left behind? And I know at that young stage, I knew that I would be left behind because I was not ready to go to be with the Lord. July 8th, 1999, as a young boy at the age of 8, coming home from the morning meeting in the Sunday school, I finally realized that all I needed to do was accept the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for me, and in simple faith, receive him and his finished work on Calvary. And it was on that date that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I grew through the Lord with the help of my Nana and my big Nana until 2003, when they were both called home to glory in that year, big Nana in May and Nana in December. It was at that point that I began to slide away from the Lord, and I entered the public school system for high school. And I got involved with rugby, and soon my not attending a few weeks turned into months, into several years. But I would find time for rugby events and even going to rugby-sponsored things at the school on the Lord's Day rather than attending his house. But the Lord still had his preserving guidance with me through my great Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave was a faithful witness and continued to phone me up day by day to speak on things of the Lord, to encourage my heart. And I'll always be grateful to the Lord for Uncle Dave. He was a great man of faith who helped me through my teenage years. And though I was far from God, I still had God brought to me daily through Uncle Dave and through his words to me. It was in 2007 that I followed my grandfather and my great-grandfather in becoming a member of the Orange Order. It was the night of my initiation where the Lord spoke to my heart. During that evening, the chaplain read about the not forsaking of yourselves together, and the Lord spoke to me. I had forsaken the assembling of myself with like-minded believers, and the Lord touched my heart to come back to his house, and I began to again attend at the Victoria Park Gospel Hall where Pape had moved to, and later on to move to Highfield Road Gospel Hall. It was while I was in the Orange Order that the Lord gave me a very dear friend and spiritual mentor in Howard Saunders. Howard was a great man and led me through many different situations, and I looked forward always to the monthly meetings of Victory Orange Lodge for words from Howard and for spiritual guidance and assistance that he always gave me. It was during this time that I began to feel the Lord telling me that he had other plans for me than being in the Gospel Hall, and as I wondered where to go to another born-again believing church, the Lord touched my heart, and I remembered that Howard spoke very fondly of his church, and I knew of his work for the Lord, and it was through Howard that I began to attend the Free Presbyterian Church here. I was greatly blessed by coming here and have been received very warmly, and I've made so many wonderful friends in the congregation. The Lord has greatly blessed me by bringing me into the fellowship here, and I especially am blessed with the friendship of Sharon Kruger, who has been a great blessing and encouragement to me and to my spiritual walk since coming here. I was received into the fellowship here in November of 2011 and then was baptized in January of 2012. I also would join the Royal Black Institution and Apprentice Boys of Derry, sister organization of the Orange Order, and it was in the Royal Black Institution that the Lord really helped me understand the reliance on him in prayer, the answering wonder of God in prayer, and patience in his time. We had the Take Five Gospel Outreach, which was a re-examination of the five solas of the Protestant Reformation. And the Lord laid on me to want to have some type of gospel outreach that they were doing in Northern Ireland for the Royal Black. And although I wanted to do it right then, the Lord kept me for a year in prayer until the harvest was time. And what a sweet blessing we had when we waited for the Lord's timing and not our own timing. And he abundantly blessed with a great time around his word and a great time of singing. The Lord has kept me when I entered university at York. And there, although in academic worlds, I came across many men who would mock the scriptures and would mock my faith, I was so grateful to the Lord who gave me three very dear Christian friends in Tyrone, Caleb, and Arias. Arias I had known from my days at the Easter Conference and was in fellowship at the Brampton Gospel Hall. And Caleb and Tyrone I came to know through seeing their testimony in class, and we were drawn by the Lord to each other, and it was such a blessing to be able to sit and talk with those of like precious faith in a dark and lonely secular world. And I cannot end without saying one last thing that the Lord has given me, a great blessing. And that was very recently. He's given me a blessing with a very dear friend, my friend Christopher Cunningham. Christopher is such a great blessing in showing me of his walk with the Lord and his encouraging performance of how to live as a Christian. Talking daily with Christopher and being encouraged in the word, I am so glad that the Lord has given me not only a friend but a companion on the pilgrim way through this world that shares not only my faith but also my love for the Savior who died for me. There are so many others that have touched my life and so many other blessings that the Lord has given me. But as I said, I will keep this short. And if Larry's watching his watch, he will see that it is rather short compared to my standards. But I am very grateful to the Lord and know the true meaning of Proverbs 16 and 9. A man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his paths. And I have so many times thought to make my own ways, but I'm so grateful that the Lord directed my paths not only in the friends and the associations he gave me, but into the fellowship of this congregation and bringing me to a place where I not only can serve him, but can grow in a Christian, in a place where the gospel is faithfully proclaimed and preached each and every Lord's Day and each and every prayer meeting. I trust that these few words will be a blessing to your heart and will glorify God, who has given me so much abundantly to a poor, wretched sinner who deserved nothing more than the lost eternity in hell. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. We have enjoyed fellowship with our brother from the time he came to be with us here, and we appreciate the testimony because, you know, and it affects many folks as young people where they have been brought up in the things of God, but school and friends and other things come in, and the Lord seems to be set aside for a number of years, and then the Lord keeps the hook in the jaw and draws back to himself. And so we appreciate that, and thankful, Mike, for that testimony tonight. We're going to have a message and song now. Our sister Ruth Slade is going to come and share with us a message and song. Thank you, Ruth, for sharing with us that message and song. We have another testimony tonight, and it's from our brother Ray Conroy. And Ray has been working with us in the school for many years now, and we do appreciate his work in taking care of the building and of taking care of some of the daily details of things that need to be looked over and fixed and cleaned and so on. We do appreciate so much the willing help that our brother has given to us. And so he is not a member of our church here tonight. And I don't know if this is a case where you have, we just had Ruth as giving us a good message and song. We had Mike give his testimony. So that's where you have a rose between two. How does that go, Ray? You know that one, don't you? Yes. Brother, you come on up here and share with us tonight a word of testimony and how the Lord has worked in your heart. Come on. And when I was asking these brethren to come, we have good fellowship, you know, and when Ray's at school, Ray's a good brethren man, and we appreciate his fellowship in the gospel. And of course, Mike was saved, and the Lord used the work in the brethren halls and assemblies to really develop and cause him to grow in grace in the Lord. And we have good fellowship. So I'm not sure whether, Ray, you're on the way in or the way out, or Mike's on the way. I'm not sure how that's going to work tonight. We're just pulling your leg. Come on, brother. We appreciate your fellowship in the gospel. Trust the Lord will bless you. Testimony you give tonight.
Thank you. Amen. Well, good to be here with you tonight on the first day of a brand new year, the Lord's Day. And what better way to spend it than the Word of God. And glad to be here with you. And just for a few minutes, I'd like to share my testimony with you. I'd just like to read a couple of scriptures. First of all, Proverbs 25:25, if you want to turn there. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Then over to Romans 1:16. Well-known verses here, Romans 1 and 16. The Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then just one more over in Hebrews chapter 12, well-known portion here, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty or the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Well, as Larry mentioned, I work at the school here, and for many years I've enjoyed it, enjoy the fellowship. And I can truly say it's been a blessing in my life just to enjoy the fellowship and the camaraderie, the unity of the staff at the school. And so it's been a real joy in my life. And I appreciate Larry asking me to share a testimony here with you this evening. And when Mike came up and he was speaking, I didn't think I'd hear so many gospel halls mentioned in the Free Presbyterian Church. You know, Highfield, you know, Brampton, Pape. But I'm in fellowship, my wife and I are in fellowship at West Hill Gospel Hall, and just not far from here, actually. So it's a real joy to be here with you tonight. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, way back in the day, and just a regular home, if you will. Wasn't a Christian home. I never knew the Word of God. But my father, he was a Catholic, and as my younger brother and I, there were seven siblings, and I'm the second youngest, and so my younger brother and I, he was about 18 months younger than me, my father wanted us to go to the Catholic school to learn some religious training. And so he signed us up to the Catholic school, and we went there for about probably 2 years, I think, just can't remember, but about 2 years. And looking back, I really enjoyed all the things about it at the time. But looking back now as a believer, I never heard the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of things you did, a lot of ritualism, things you did by rote and so on, but I never really heard the Word of God. And so what was happening, my younger brother, my dad didn't think he was doing well academically. So he thought we're getting too much religion. So he pulled us out back into the public school. And so that was kind of the extent of my, you know, religious training, if you will. And so at the age of 21 and a half, I guess, I emigrated to Canada. I left Scotland, left Edinburgh, came to Canada. Still not a believer, I met my wife. And married, I guess, the first year I was came here. Then the following year, we got married and had children and so on. Now, my wife, she knew the gospel. She was went to Danforth Gospel Hall as a little girl. And she heard the gospel, but she wasn't raised in a Christian home, so there was no encouragement, to go on in the faith and so on. So that was kind of the extent. She went to a Christian camp for a couple of years. But growing up as a teenager, she had no encouragement, so no fellowship with believers, and didn't attend a Christian church. And as a teenager, me growing up in Scotland, you know, just doing my own thing, a few scrapes here and there, drinking and things like that. Never took drugs, but did drink alcohol and things like that, you know. But when we were raising our family, the thing was we wanted our kids to go to Sunday school. Kind of unusual, not being a Christian, but we wanted them to go to Sunday school. And so I think we looked in the paper at the time. We were living out in Ajax, and my wife, because she was went to the gospel hall, we noticed there was a gospel hall in Morningside, West Hill Gospel Hall. And so we would drive in on a Sunday morning. Our kids, we had two children, two boys. They would go into the Sunday school, and we would sit out in the parking lot on a Sunday morning, just unshaven, just sitting there waiting on them coming out of Sunday school. In other words, the Lord was at work because there were some things happening. Our kids were saying, well, how come we have to go to church and you guys don't go? And then one of the elders there, a real brother, a real lover of souls, Dave Greaves, he's still there at the hall. He came out one day and he started to talk to us. He said, I'd like to come over one day and have a cup of tea with you guys, you know. By this time, we had moved into Scarborough. We were living in Scarborough. So he came over and my wife, as I say, my wife knew the gospel, but I was completely, I couldn't even quote you a verse. I really didn't know the scripture. And so he was zeroing in on me. And so he says, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross? I said, yeah, I guess so, type thing. He says, well, do you believe he died for you personally? And that was the first time I'd ever heard something like that. Did he die for you personally? Do you believe that? And it was like an arrow to my heart because I'd never heard that kind of language before, and I really didn't know how to answer them. And so that was really the start of us coming to know Christ, because he had been praying about starting an informal Bible study for parents like us who send our children to Sunday school. And he'd been praying about that. So he asked us if we'd like to attend, and this was about 1978, I believe, around about that time. And so we attended the Bible study, and, you know, we had a lot of questions. It was all kind of new to me, and I never heard the Word of God. But he was very faithful. He was very patient with us, answering all our questions. And so we went weekly. But, you know, when you're not a believer, you really don't put a premium on things like that. So if something came up on a Sunday that, something else, you would go to that. If it was maybe a family affair or something else came up, you know, the Bible study would get put on the back burner. That was kind of the way it was. But anyway, he was patient with us and praying about it and so on. And then about 1982, there was a series of meetings at Seneca campus there on Shepherd and Don, or Shepherd and the 404. And Harold Paisley was preaching. I think it was with Norman Crawford. And so that night, I wanted to go. I just kind of went by myself. And Harold was preaching. And I really don't remember a scripture, but he was talking about his mother, that she was going home to glory. And we're there with her. And he said something like, she shed a tear. He said it was like a jewel just going down her cheek. And it was a tear of joy. She was going to meet the Savior. And you know, that really touched my heart. I thought, that's what I want. So that night, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Now, that's only the start of our journey. as most of you know here tonight, once you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden when you wake up the following morning, it's not a bed of roses. You know, the Lord Jesus says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so, but it puts you on a path. And, you know, I've said this before, he gives you a new name. Now you're a saint of God. You're a saint of God. You've moved from sinnerhood into sainthood. You're still a sinner saved by grace, but if you read the New Testament, the apostle, when he's writing to all the different churches, he's writing to saints, saints of the Most High God. And that's the title that we have as Christians. You know, we don't have to be dead for 1,000 years when some church is going to come along and say, I'm going to call him a saint now because, you know, he's done some good works. In God's eyes, we're saints of the Most High God, and that's an encouragement. But I read some scriptures tonight. I'd just like to talk very quickly about the first one. It's cold waters to a thirsty soul, so it's good news from a far country. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you have a thirsty soul, and you need to take in the good news of the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul, as we read that scripture, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God. The power, it's God's dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. To the Jew first, and to the Gentile. And so, the power of God. You know, if you're not a believer here tonight, I would encourage you, what's been said, and the hymns of the faith we've been singing, that this might, God may be speaking to your heart tonight, as he spoke to my heart many years ago. Might be speaking to you about things of eternity. You know, where will you spend eternity? Life at best is very brief, like the binding off a sheaf, like the falling off a leaf, be in time. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't leave here without the Savior. Not because of anything I have said, or what Mike has said, what God is saying. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. And so I started off on the journey as a Christian and came into the, got baptized at West Hill, came into the fellowship. I guess it was probably the following year, 1983, and we've been there in happy fellowship ever since, enjoying the teaching, the preaching of the word. And I worked for 28 years at Bank of Montreal, just over at Vic Park and Gordon Baker Road. I'm an electrician by trade, and started as an electrician, and I was moved after a few years into a management role, which I enjoyed. But lo and behold, you know, things don't last forever. The winds were changing, new management came along, and I was packaged off about 10 years ago, I guess it was, roughly 10 years ago, 2008, so 8 years ago. And I wasn't ready to retire. And so my granddaughter and grandson, Joseph, here, they attended Whitfield Christian School. And so I liked to school. I used to drop them off sometimes in the morning. I would drop into the assembly, hear the word of God before I went to work, and it was really set the tone for my day. So when I was laid off, wasn't ready to retire, I volunteered here for a year, and then I found out there was an opening. You know, the caretaker's job. So I put my resume in and got hired here. And it's been, as I say, it's been a real blessing. And just a little plug for the school. It's obviously a conservative school, very conservative, but with a lot of love, a lot of love. You know, there's a staff meeting every Tuesday before school starts. Prayers are made for students and so on. The needs of the school are brought before the Lord. And we have a real time of good fellowship. At that time. So it's a Christian school with conservative base, but with a lot of love and a lot of unity in the school. So I really appreciate the school. But now, on the first day of 2017, we look for anticipation what the Lord is going to do. And I was thinking of that verse we just read, looking unto Jesus. You know, sometimes we tend, when we have a problem that come along in life, we tend to look down. But we need to look up. Looking unto Jesus. Another translation says, fix your eyes on him. When Peter took his eyes off the Lord when he was walking on the water, began to sink. So we need to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. The joy. He went to the cross. You know, the scripture says when they came to the place which was called Calvary, it says there they crucified him. And that's what it's all about. He took our place on Calvary's cross, paid the price for my sin, personally. You know, if you ask most people, they understand, yeah, Jesus died on a cross, but you need to apply personally. It's a personal relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. He wants to give you rest for your soul tonight. And maybe you have a restless soul. Maybe you're not saved tonight. I don't know everybody here tonight, but maybe you're not saved. And you know, I've never heard anyone who became a Christian say, I regretted becoming a Christian. Never heard that. You never will. Because even we're not immune from the difficulties in life, from the problems in life. We're not immune to that. But God takes us through these problems. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He takes us through these problems. And we have that real joy in our hearts. For the joy that was set before him, he's going to the cross. The joy of doing the Father's will. And because he paid the price for our sins on the cross, because he rose again from the dead, we have hope beyond the grave. That's what I delight in. We have hope beyond the tomb. The tomb is not the end for the Christian. It's the beginning. Because God, bar the rapture, God may just use death. We were singing, death is vanquished. God may just use the article of death to bring you to himself. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is what? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank you for listening, and again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the word of God here. Thank you.
As Ray said, when he came to the school and volunteered, first of all, and then there was an opening for the caretaking position, we were happy to take him on board, and he has been a blessing to us as well, and we do ask you to pray for him. And he drives our bus as well, and that's another responsibility. And it certainly is a great duty, taking the kids around to different outings and so on. So we greatly appreciate that. The Lord bless you, Ray, and your family. We have a special item tonight for another solo, and it's Joanne Keller is going to come and sing. Joanne, you come up to the front now. You know, Joanne has been a part of our fellowship for many years, and Joanne, well, her mom and dad passed away many years ago, and so this is your family, Joanne, isn't it now?
Mm-hmm.
Eh? We are your family, your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and so Joanne is going to sing for us now tonight.
Oh.
May the Lord bless that word and that song to your heart tonight. We're going to close our service. I just want to leave with you one verse of scripture from John's Gospel. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there, please, to chapter 14. The words of verse 27 of John 14, and I will not keep you long tonight, but these are precious words and a few thoughts just to impress upon you. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." You know, the words of this chapter are among the final words of the Lord before he went to the cross to be crucified. He was dealing with disciples that had been with him for 3 years. Those that had followed him closely, had watched every word, had observed every action, had seen him when he was healing those that were blind and crippled, those that were set aside with leprosy. He was viewed when he was with them as the Pharisees and scribes attacked him viciously for the things he taught and the positions he held and the very thing he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," making himself equal with God. And so as the Lord Jesus was coming down to the final days on earth with his disciples, he knew that they were confused as he spoke to them about his death and about his resurrection from the dead. Their ears were still stopped. They did not fully understand. Even up to the point where Mary brought the alabaster box and broke it and poured that ointment upon Christ, anointing him for his burial. And there was anger and frustration because, well, they thought that much waste had happened. And yet the Lord, in his kindness and mercy, shared with his disciples that, "I will leave you soon, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when I leave you. And I will give to you my peace. My peace will be your possession." And my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we set out on this new year, maybe you say, "Lord, I need a double portion of your peace in my life, because I have suffered great anxiety, because this past year has been not what I thought it was going to be, and there have been so many issues, one thing on top of another thing, and if you were to cite them tonight, it would be a long list. But here in this word that Jesus spoke was a word of comfort, a word to encourage. And it will be a word to encourage your heart tonight. For he says, "My peace I leave with you." You see, my dear friend, this is not the peace of the world. This is something that belongs to Jesus Christ. He says, "It is my peace." And the world will talk about different kinds of peace, but they never mount up to anything that is lasting, never mount up to anything that really satisfies the deep, longing heart of man. There is only one thing that can fill that void, and it is the peace that Jesus Christ is able to give. You've heard two testimonies tonight, and they have spoken to you about your need of the Lord. It may be that you're here tonight in this building, or you're listening to this message online, and you've never settled that matter in your own heart. And right now you're in turmoil because your sins are not forgiven. You do not have peace with God because there is so much going on as a whirlwind in your mind and heart, and you're wondering where it's all going to end. Ah, my friend, let me say to you this night, you can have the peace that Jesus Christ says is his, because he says, my peace I give unto you. And he gives that freely. And so, if you are without the Lord this evening, then he invites you to repent and call upon him. He invites you to cast your sins at his feet. And he has promised to come and to wash our sin away, to cleanse our life, cleanse our heart, our mind, everything that would take us down the wrong pathway to a lost eternity in hell. And yet the glorious work that the Lord Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was all that he might be able to give us the peace of God that passes all understanding. He has promised to us over and over again that we would have that which no man possesses of himself because of sin. And yet that greatest gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of everlasting life, comes with it that great possession of his peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. It is a gift. It's not just something we can work for. It's not something that you and I can put down any amount on the table and say, yes, I will purchase a good quantity of that peace that will do me for the rest of my days. It's a gift, and it's a gift of Christ. And he has promised to give that to us. And so, my dear friend, if you do not know the Lord tonight, you can know him, and you can have that peace which is his gift. But it may be, believer, you've trusted in him a long time ago, and these precious words are words that need to be cemented in our hearts again. They need to be reemphasized so that in all the clutter, in all the upset, in all the confusing voices that are coming and going in our lives, and there is upset and anxiety, and you say, well, where is the peace? Ah, let's come again to hear the words that Jesus said to us. My peace I give unto you. He said this to his troubled disciples. They were anxious, not knowing what the future would hold for them. He said this to those who were in the New Testament church that were facing persecution unto the very death. He said, my peace I give unto you. Remember when the disciples were in the stormy sea? They never forgot that lesson, where the Lord stood and he said to the waves and the wind, peace, be still. And all was calm. And he says that to our hearts tonight. He said, peace, and be still, and know that the peace that comes from Christ is one that the world cannot take away, the devil cannot take away, and yes, even our own foolishness and folly and mistakes cannot take away. For when the Lord gives, he does not remove from us. And so tonight, as we are facing all the uncertainties of the new year and what it brings, there is one thing that is absolutely certain. Let us take that with us tonight. Jesus said, I will be with you. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And with Christ with us in our life, we can face whatever storms come. And we will face them with joy. And we will face them with anticipation to see how God will deliver us in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. Remember when the Apostle Paul was near shipwrecked, and all else had been given up that the ship would survive. They had thrown everything overboard, the tackling, all of the wear that they had. And the Apostle Paul was quite content. He said, the Lord will bring us through. If those men leave this ship, they will die. There is only salvation if they stay on this ship. God has spoken to me in a dream. And the Apostle Paul said, arise and eat. And the storm was still raging, and they had no peace. But he had peace because the Lord was with him and the Lord had spoken to him. And you in the great upset of this life can know the peace of Christ, a testimony to many others who wonder, how can you be this way as a Christian? How can you face these issues? It's not of self. It's not of our strength. It is only of the Lord himself in us. And so, as we have the abiding presence of the Lord, and we rejoice in him each day, let us take that peace of God and of Christ with us. It passes all understanding. It will secure us and keep us. It will keep our minds when all else is ready to become unhinged and we wonder, are we going to ever make it through? The Lord will keep us. Let us therefore trust in him and not cast aside those things and that great blessing we have received of his hand today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we bless thee tonight for a happy evening. We are thankful for the privilege of song. Thankful, Lord, for the word that has been read, for the testimonies that have been given, for the messages in song that we have heard. And dear Lord, for this great promise that Jesus has spoken to us in his word. We ask thee, Father, to help us to rest in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I pray for those who are without the Savior here. Lord, speak to their heart this night. Draw them effectually by the power that is not our own to see again the Savior as they have never beheld him before. To see him not just as one that died, but as one that died for them. Lord, take us, we pray, to our homes in safety tonight. Make us, we ask, O God, a blessing there. Encourage us, give us household salvation. We long to see those of our loved ones who are still without Christ, born again of thy Spirit. Lord, we also long to see those perhaps walking at a distance from thee, to be drawn closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. Father, do a new thing, we pray, and a great thing in this incoming year, and we will be mindful to give all praise and thanksgiving and worship unto thy great and holy name. So now, Lord, part us in thy fear, and with thy rich blessing on us, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.